Welcome to Voice Rising with Kara Johnstad. Enjoy weekly conversations with leading luminaries, pioneering visionaries, singers, poets, musicians, and sound healers as we explore the profound role our voice plays on the path to self-realization and global enlightenment. The internationally acclaimed singer, composer, author, healer, recording artist, voice expert, creator of Voice Your Essence, and founder of the School of Voice, Kara Johnstad, uses her extraordinary spiritual gifts to empower others. Everything in this world vibrates. Everything has a frequency. A pioneer in the field of voice work and transformational songwriting. Her breakthrough methods are helping thousands of people worldwide fine-tune their body-mind-spirit system and unlock the energetic frequencies of limitless creativity, health, and abundance. Share your voice, ask your questions, join in the conversation. Receive life-changing, positive transformation and rise together to create a sound world. And here's your host, Kara Johnstad.
Hello, welcome to Voice Rising. Today I have with me in the studio Miss Judy Collins, a singer, songwriter, author, filmmaker, poet, record label head, musical mentor, social and environmental activist, a wise, deep soul. Her music has touched millions of hearts, and we are very lucky to have her with us today. Welcome, Judy, to Voice Rising.
Thank you so much, Kara. How are you today?
I am very good. I am very good. And I think you couldn't possibly know, unless you're telepathic, that your voice and your songs have guided me. I listened to you as a little girl standing in a cornflower blue bedroom in the middle of Wisconsin. And as a young want-to-be singer, I packed two suitcases at the age of 19, put in Letters to a Young Poet, Little Prince, and the Judy Collins songbook, and my guitar. And you are the reason, I think, that I trusted my voice and became a singer-songwriter. So I just want to start this interview, before we deep dive into all these questions, to give you a huge thank you. And I'm sure I'm not the only one, I mean, that has not only been touched by your music, but has decided to trust in their own voice because of your writing and because of your honesty and because of your, I guess, your authenticity and your resilience. I feel very blessed to hang out with you today. So how's that?
Well, that fills up a lot of exciting balloons and about a lot of celebratory fireworks in my head.
Yeah, right, exactly. Judy, you are, one doesn't hear it in your voice, but you are 82, and you're celebrating, it says 60 years of music, with two new albums this year. I think it might even be three, because I know you're doing a town hall album release, so it might be two or three. You just launched a podcast. If everything relaxes, I'm sure you're going to be on tour. I did read somewhere that 120 concerts a year is still pretty normal for your, for your band and for you to sing. But I know that you also played piano as a kid and were already giving concerts with 13. So I think you spent your whole life in music and of music, right?
I have. That's true.
Breathing in and out music. What projects are you currently excited about?
Oh, so many. Now, I've just started. I'm at the finishing end of a new album that's going to be all my own songs. And so I'm quite excited about that. I've been writing a whole lot of songs since all the time, trying to write. And sometimes succeeding as we do, sometimes not. But I've got a whole batch of them that really happened to. They were hatched during the pandemic, and the name of the album would be Spellbound. But I listened to it the other day all the way through. You know, most of the mix is close to being done. It's a real breakthrough for me because I've done I've written songs for years, but frankly, I've done Sondheim, I've done an album, you know, recently a whole album of duets, I've done Winter Stories, which include wonderful things, but I haven't had an album of my own material, really, except something called Singing Lessons. Maybe it was called that, or Voices, I can't remember. And then, which was a very small sort of production. And in 71, I think I made an album called Two Stories and Other Dreams. But that also included a couple of other songs by other people. So this is really a triumph for me, getting to this point. And it'll come out in 2022, which, you know, the way time flies, Kara, that's like yesterday.
That's right. That's beyond tomorrow and behind yesterday. Yeah. It's right between.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Yeah, you were very famous. You still are famous as an interpreter for great songs. Yet, tell us the moment where you picked up the pen and started writing. Do you remember where you were when you started writing your first song?
It was 1967. I had met Leonard Cohen. I'm just looking at a picture of us right now, singing together somewhere, and it's just heavenly, divine. And he requested an audience with me in 1966, and he had started writing songs, and he didn't have. Everybody else in the village was writing their own songs except me. So, of course, he couldn't go and sing his songs to Bob Dylan or to Eric Anderson or David Blue. So he came to see me because I'd already been recording for 6 years, and I already had aired and given a new audience to a number of artists, including Pete Seeger, Woody Guthrie. I don't think I'd recorded Farini yet, but Tom Paxton and just an awful lot of artists. So he came to me and to my house, and he said, "I can't sing and I can't play the guitar, and I don't know if this is a song." And then he sang me Suzanne and two other songs, and I said, "Oh my God, this is definitely a song." And I recorded Suzanne, and he called me a few days after that, and he said, a few weeks actually after the song had come out on its record, and In My Life was the name of the album, and he said, "You've made me famous." And I said, "Well, good, that's a wonderful piece of news. Good for you, good for me." And he said, "But I don't understand one thing." And in those days, Leonard was never going to sing in public. He hated his voice. He thought he was an awful singer. He said, "I wonder, I want you to be singing my songs. But the thing is, I don't understand why you're not writing your own songs." Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was the way he said it. Dylan had always said to me, you should write your own song. And that's not what Leonard said. He said, it was a question, why aren't you writing your own song? Mm-hmm. So it's the Zen posing of a problem, of a question in a very different way. It's not. It doesn't assume judgment about you. You know what
isn't
I mean?
That, yeah, isn't that fascinating? Right? One says should and you feel kind of put into a corner maybe, and the other one says, "I'm curious why you don't share your heart," or why I'm curious.
Yeah,
why
show
you
your
why.
Yeah. Yeah. And I came running home to my Steinway piano, and I sat down and I wrote Susie Bass. It took me about 40 minutes. But of course, that's the way they get you, you know. It takes 40 minutes, then the next one takes 5 years.
Was it very different? Were you, when you were studying piano, were you also improvising, or were you really just studying Rachmaninoff or Chopin or Mozart? Were you used to composing like that?
No, not really. Although I could, and I remember Dr. Rico saying to me, "I hate that jazz. I don't want you to be improvising." I could, if called upon, I could make up anything or respond to somebody's question, do you know such and such a song? But a natural thing with me, because I did play all the time. I practiced. I'd be on my father's radio show. I'd be on the school show. But no, I never tried to write anything. And it's interesting because nobody ever asked me to do it. Nobody ever said, why aren't you? Or, gee, you could try this and, you know, see how it goes.
Right.
No, that never occurred. And I'm not, in those days, I'm not sure about the music classes or even the studying with Brico. Well, Brico was very much against anything that wasn't Beethoven or Chopin or Rachmaninoff. I mean, she was very friendly with many of the current people who were composing at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And she, I know that one of the big composers that she knew had some daughters. And when the composer died, the daughters burned all of his unfinished manuscripts because they didn't believe that Sibelius's daughters.
Yeah.
And they didn't think that anything should be out of his that wasn't finished. So they, I don't know, they had their own point of view about it.
Yeah,
but Brico was a stickler for you. You didn't want to be to do something badly that somebody else had done well.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So she wouldn't have given any encouragement all those years. But all he had to do, of course, I am so privileged that I got to know Leonard because he was like a Zen master anyway. He was a meditating monk and he was stilled. What is the word? He was
instilled.
He lived in the words of the Quran, not the Quran, of the Bible, and so mm-hmm. he was. You know, his family was very traditional Jewish family, and temple meant everything in the world to him. And so he had this deep, deep, deep philosophy and understanding about life and art and everything. He was just enormously developed soul. And I was privileged to get to spend time with him.
So, Since You Asked was not your first song, but it was your first song recorded, I believe.
Oh, it was my first song. Oh, yeah, it's the
first
song I ever wrote.
You just, in 40 minutes, look at you go, right? You do hear this poetry. I don't know what came first, the melody or the words, or if they all came rushing at you all together. But do you want to listen to it? I'd love the audience to hear it. So let's listen to
Good.
Since You've Asked.
Okay.
Originally from Wildflowers, right? The album, 67.
Right.
Yeah.
What I'll give you since you've asked is all my time together. Take the rugged sunny days, the warm and rocky weather. Take the roads that I have walked along, looking for tomorrow's time. As my life spills into yours, changing with the hours, filling up the world with time, turning time to flowers. I can show you all the songs that I never sang to one man before. We have seen a million stones lying by. the hills with me to the mountain shelter. Taken off the days one by one, setting them to breathe in the sun. Take the lilies and the lace from the days of childhood, all the willow and outward. This is what I give, this is what I ask you for. Nothing
That was Since You Asked by Judy Collins, who's with me here in studio today. Judy, a quick question. Do you normally compose at the piano, or do you like composing at the guitar, or is it both?
It's not both. It's only the piano. But lately, and over the course of time, you know, things change a little bit, and I've done a lot of writing first and then going to the piano and seeing whether the song emerges or whether I turn it into a poem. And that seems to work very well right now. If, you know, I used to always have to be sitting down at the piano noodling, and out of the air comes something or other. Or if I'm doing it, it's like a guided meditation. For instance, I wrote a song for the commander, the first woman commander of a space shuttle. Her name is Eileen Collins, and she's just come out with a book called "The Glass Ceiling," and flying through the universe, or something like that. Anyway, it's Eileen Collins' new book, and it is featuring the song that I in the prose somewhere, or the lyrics to the song that I wrote for her, "Beyond the Sky," is what it's called. I got commissioned by NASA to write that song, so I sat down with some newspaper articles about Eileen Collins and how she had, as a child, begun to think about flying, and convinced herself that she could join the Air Force and be a pilot. That was not really possible. People said it wasn't possible. But like many of my heroes and heroines, she did something that people said shouldn't be able to be done. I always like to run into people like that because they're very inspiring. So I did ponder a bit of the background for her life, but then I just sat down and wrote "Once There Was a Girl with a Dream in Her Heart, Wild as the Wind Was Her Hopes." And so it just flowed right out from there. Sometimes that happens. But the songwriting, the mysterious songwriting that comes about. Yesterday, I was listening to some songs of Dave Carter. He's the one who wrote a song called "When I Go," which I did as a duet with Willie Nelson in my duets album a couple of years ago. It's one of the great songs. And so I'm listening to Dave Carter, other songs, not that one, and Kelly, his partner, his writing partner. And I just got this flash when I put down a few lines, and by golly, I think I've got a new song that's, it may be this week's highlight.
Beautiful. Judy, we're going to take a very short break and be back in a few moments with more about music and songwriting and voice.
The cutting edge of conscious radio, OM Times Radio, IOM FM.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. a philanthropic organization. Their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at omtimes.com. Om Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.
With happy clients all over the world, Kara Johnstad knows that your voice is the missing link to more authenticity, abundance, creativity, and health. An internationally acclaimed voice expert, Kara's breakthrough methods have helped thousands of people successfully heal their voice wounds and extinguish the story of self-doubt and shyness forever. Join in group trainings, attend online sessions, schedule one-on-one time, and invite Kara to work with your organization and community. Get started today. Go to www.karajohnstad.com and receive a special guided meditation designed to fine-tune your inner voice and welcome you on the voice journey.
This is Kathy Beal, host of Celestial Compass, featuring astrology you can use. Celestial Compass points you to what's going on in the sky and what you can do with it down here on Earth. We also explore fun, effective, and cosmic tools for navigating this adventure we call life. Join me the first and third Monday of the month at 5 p.m. Eastern Time for Celestial Compass. It's enlightening, entertaining, and empowering.
COVID-19, brought to you by CDC and the Ad Council.
If you're feeling increasingly lonely right now, you're not alone. It's totally normal. Even though we may not be able to get together in person, connecting virtually with friends and family still gives you a chance to interact with people and may help raise your spirits. Join a virtual book club, set up group text chats, or online video coffee breaks with coworkers.
Find more self-care and coping tips at coping-19.org.
Welcome back to Voice Rising. I am your host, Kara Johnstad, and with me in studio is Judy Collins. Judy, when you started your career, it was a time of tremendous hope and of tremendous innocence, a pivotal period, and people were marching in the streets against war, and there was a huge surge in songwriting. It was a mixture of disenchantment and romantic idealism. If we fast forward to today, I believe we also have this feeling of disenchantment and skepticism and a drive to fight for justice. And yet, I also see that many people are missing that romantic idealism and they feel simply exhausted. As a lifelong social activist and someone whose voice shaped the 60s and continues to be a voice that is shaping our world, what is your take on where we are as a country and globally, and what causes are important to you now?
I want to just repeat in proper sequence the name of this book about Eileen Collins, Colonel
Yes.
Eileen Collins. It's called Through the Glass Ceiling to the Stars. And I admire this woman so much as Colonel Eileen Collins, USAF, retired. And, you know, she had a dream, and everybody said, no, you can't. And my teacher, Dr. Baker, had a dream of becoming a conductor, and people said, no, you can't because you're a woman. My father, who was blind after the age of 4, had a dream and decided that he was going to become a performer, which he did. And people say, well, you know, you can't do that. You're blind. And he really is a person who saw more clearly than most of the people I knew who were sighted. I was born an optimist. So that gives you both disappointment and also inspiration and how to get through the day. I think it comes in the DNA because a lot of the times when we look around the world and think, how can this possibly be? How can anything change this? I believe in spiritual connections and in
Yes.
in meditation and in a positive attitude and in knowing that if I have a thought, you know, Christian Murdoch, somebody, maybe it was Yogananda, somebody said, if you have the thought about it, then you will be given the directions as to how to get there. Mm-hmm. And I really believe in it. I'm a believer in mystical experience and in powerful transformations that have nothing to do with what's in front of the nose and everything to do with things we cannot see. So yes, there have been terrible times. It was a time of optimism. It was also that horrible war going on, the Vietnam War, which I think is we are still paying for. It was a disaster. It was a catastrophe. And we, we think, as being human beings, we think that we can get a little, okay, done and dusted, goodbye, that's enough. It's never enough. There's always resonance of things that are damaged. So it was a kind of a national disgrace and trauma, which we're trying, I think, unconsciously to get over. I really believe that. Also, I believe that the next day the sun comes up, and there's a great lesson in that, because that means, okay, I do the things that I do. I take care of what's in front of me. I eat well. I exercise. I do some meditation, I do some writing, I do some practicing. And these are the things that hold me to my goals and my aspirations, which are, can I finish that song that was started yesterday by an inspiring voice from the past, from Dave Carter?
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah, yeah. I mean, maybe it is that simple. If each and every one of us did that, eating consciously, doing some exercise, bringing beauty and truth to the world, right? Sharing our voice in uplifting and positive ways and not being constantly condemning or critical. I mean, if each one took care of their own little corner of the world, then the planet would be okay. I remember my sister, who's a Buddhist nun, she actually said that to me once when I was getting really frazzled about, you know, climate change and the whole world. I was doing the whole world, and she
taking
said,
it on.
She's like, Kara, yeah, she said, Kara, just take your corner of the world.
Yeah.
Do what you can in your corner, and if everybody does that, and it was a great lesson, actually. Yeah. And like you said, I mean, you know, we are able to dream big. My father was actually in the astronaut program. He actually flew planes before he could even drive a car, because coming from a small town in Wisconsin with parents that had a divorce in that time, right? I mean, I think in the 40s and 50s. He wanted to fly away, and so he flew as a fighter pilot in the astronaut program and everything else. So I think we can move mountains in many ways, right, with our voice.
Yes, we can.
Let's.
And it doesn't mean that we cannot look back at what was there. I'm looking at a drawing of Dream Lake in Colorado, and the little mountain, and this kind of a little drawing that my brother Denver gave me. You know, there, you know, I could burst into tears and sob and weep over the lost paradise. I could do that. Yeah. And there are moments when I do internally. I think these things have to be mourned. The passing of the time of hope has to be mourned. But the celebration of the moment, of doing the little things, carrying wood, chopping wood, carrying water, being responsible to the next activity that's required of you, the discipline in that is phenomenal. And out of that comes, I think, something magical, mystical, which we don't know where it comes from. I remember Dylan always saying in his Chronicle 1, the book that he wrote about songwriting, about his life, he said, I don't know why it started, the songwriting, that 10 years. I don't know where it came from. I have no idea. I've been thinking that I could tell him where it came from, which is that I knew he started sleeping at people's houses that had really good libraries. But other than that, we don't know where it comes from. So we have to take care. Also, we have to be careful in getting rid of our demons, that we don't kill off the one that's inspiring us accidentally.
Yeah, I think that with all this shining light, and shooting for only the positivity, we forget that the trees are anchored in rich dirt and darkness, right? We somehow forget that part of the equation as we strive for perfectionism and excellence, that there's a lot of withering leaves. And I mean, let's bridge into this amazing song you did called The Pharaoh Way, which is a lot about, you know, the Pharaoh, as we know, is that period where something is left so it can create something new, so it can restore its fertility. You brought out this, you're such an inspiration for me, I tell you. I'm 56, but I tell you, I'm like, 2019, you scored your first number one album on the American Billboard chart with Winter Stories, right? You were 80, right? And you are flying. Collaboration with the Norwegian singer Jonas, does he say Fjeld?
Jonas Fjeld, yes.
And the Bluegrass Band.
County Line.
So that's a little bit like, where does the inspiration come from? I mean, was this last year for you in, I'm sure New York had a lot of lockdown. Also, we had 7 months of lockdown this year and 4 months last year.
Yeah.
Did you feel that it gave you time to integrate and reflect and slow down and actually feed your muse and your creativity?
Absolutely. I was, we were home, of course, in New York, and didn't fly, didn't walk, didn't travel, basically. We walked around the park and the riverside, and we ate three meals a day, and we had time, and we slept. That was a change. And all these horrible things that happened, all these deaths, I appreciate the loss. I appreciate it. And I did my prayers and tried to be conscious of the powers around me and also the failings around me. But that's life. And I read a lot of Marcus Aurelius, just because he died in a pandemic in 106 A.D. It was called the Apennine pandemic. Mm-hmm. Right? I think so. But he was, of course, a meditator and a practical person. So the stoicism that he writes about is very attractive to me, very attractive. I think a stoic, meaning you take it as it comes. Mm-hmm. You play it as it lays.
You pray and you, I guess we become grateful how precious each breath is and how precious our life is, right? Because the truth is,
exactly.
We don't know. We don't know. It's in the moment, it's a pandemic, but it could be a car crash. I mean, we really don't know. Let's listen to Fall Away. Unless you want to say a few words before, I would just say, let's listen to this gorgeous song off of your album, Winter Stories. And then we can talk a little bit more afterwards.
Oh, good. That sounds divine. Thank you.
Okay. Beautiful.
The fallow way, when winter draws the valley down and freezes all the little brooks and stills the rivers in their storm, time when our steps slow to the sound of falling flakes and crackling flames. when silver stars are high and still, deep in the velvet of the sky, the crystal time, the silent times, I learned to love their quietness, while deep beneath the glistening snow, the black earth dreams of violets, I learned to love the fallow way. Fallow way, when all my colors turn to white, and flying birds flow back their wings upon my ancient wandering. The sun has slanted all her rays across a vast and harvest plain. My memories mingle in the dawn. I see the joyful vagabond. The glistening snow, the black earth's dreams of violets, I learned to love the fallow way. No drummer comes across the plains to tell a triumph or a pain. No sound of far-off battles cry to draw me out. Fallow way and gather in the patient fruits, and after autumn's blaze and burn, I'll know the feel of still deep roots that nothing seemed to know or need, that crack the ice in frozen ponds, and slumbering in winter's fold, have dreamed of green and blue and fallow way, and listen for the blossoming of my own heart once more in spring. As sure as time, as sure as snow, as sure as moonlight, wind and stars, the fallow time will fall away. The sun will bring an April day, and I will yield to summer's way.
Bringing a more conscious lifestyle to your world. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose: to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Life is a flow, and enlightenment is simply harmonizing with the way life really is. Then you find that life is effortless, benevolent, and free of all suffering. Hey everyone, this is GP Walsh, and I want to invite you to my brand new radio show that's launching right here on OM Times Radio called The Flow of Enlightenment. I've been a spiritual teacher for decades, and my greatest pleasure is being able to share with you these deep and highly practical spiritual ideas. So join me in The Flow every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Eastern and let yourself be transformed.
The United States has the highest rate of incarceration in the world. At the Equal Justice Initiative, we believe mass incarceration has to end. There is this presumption of dangerousness and guilt that gets assigned to black and brown people. We have to confront our history of racial injustice and commit to a new era of truth. There's something better waiting for us, something that feels more like freedom. Truth can inspire change. please learn more at EJI.org.
Welcome back to Voice Rising. I am your host, Kara Johnstad, and with me in studio is Judy Collins. And we were listening to The Fallow Way off of Winter Stories before we headed into the break. Judy, this is a direct question from our listening audience. They ask you, at a certain age, we believe that the vocal cords stiffen and slow and the high notes all dry up and our voice tends to lower in pitch. And many of your contemporaries have bowed out of recording new material, yet you continue to thrive. Your voice is stronger than ever. How do you do it? Are there any vocal tips for the people that are not only young, but are 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 that we could learn from you? What's your secret?
Well, I can pass along to you what I was told by my teacher. I found him in 1964 when I was losing my voice because I didn't know anything about singing. I knew how to play piano. I'd studied for years. And I'd sung in choirs and was, you know, I sounded fine, but then I would lose my voice after the strain of a tour and so on. And I went to see, I called two friends. I called Harry Belafonte's pianist, or the guitarist, who gave me a name, and I called a couple who ran the Lenox, Massachusetts arts school. And they gave me the same name, and I called this guy. I had a phone number, and I said, I've been given your name. I'm told that you're the best, and he demurred. And I said, I'd like to come and see you. And he said, well, tell me, what kind of music do you sing? And I told him. He said, no, I'm not interested. I said, I have to see you. You're the one that they said is going to help me. And he said, well, maybe. Why don't you come over? And I said, okay, where do you live? And I walked out my front door on the 8th floor of 845 of 179 West, 164 West 79th, and I walked out my door and turned right and passed in front of the elevator and rang his bell. Now, that doesn't tell you anything about singing, but it tells you something about destiny. And I studied with him for 2 years. He was the guy. He knew what to do. And when he was dying, he said to me, don't worry. Just do what I told you. And don't forget, the two most important things in your voice are clarity and phrasing. And I can tell you, yes, there's a way to, it has to do with clarity. If you can understand the words, you're singing well. If you can't, you're not. If you develop a wobble in your voice, go see somebody right away. It is not true that all voices deteriorate. It's simply not true. It's the wrong, you're singing the wrong way. Now, it's not complicated. I mean, there's nothing wooey-wooey about it. You don't sing from your head or your neck or your chest or anything else. You do what comes naturally. You know, we were given this voice to be able to scream our lungs out in the jungle while we ran after some creature that we were supposed to kill and eat for dinner. So that voice is meant to do hard duty.
Yes.
And it doesn't mean that you scream when you sing. It means that you focus on the lyric. And what does it mean? And is it clear? And the phrasing is clear.
Yes.
I quite often suggest that people read what it is that they're singing. Read it out loud and make it as clear as possible. But I was lucky. So, you know, I studied with a man who told me that I could sing until I fell over.
Yeah.
And I believed him. Yeah. And I did what he told me. And I'm a very resistant little girl, so I didn't want to do what he told me all the time, but I did.
Yeah,
thank God. Thank God.
Yeah, and the clarity comes too from what you're saying is also listening. So not pushing and not pressing, because that is the lower vocal folds. So there's a a thing in the music biz called those vocal edges, and the clarity, the voice is able to regenerate itself 24/7 if we take care of it. Exactly.
Yeah.
Judy, it's built to last forever. I want to play one last song for everybody because our conversations are so beautiful and the music is so beautiful. It's hard to know what to do, but I do want to play for them. Open the Door, and let's do Open the Door. It's all about friendship, as far as I can tell.
Yes, it is.
Yes, a lot about friendship. Exactly. So let's listen to Open the Door.
I thought I was living, but I was all alone. In my heart the rain was falling, the wind blew, the night was calling. Come back, come back, I'm all you've ever known.
To you as you are to me. When I see you happy, Judy, it sets my heart free. I swear. You know, the music business can be tough. I mean, life can be tough, but the music business is kind of hard because you're out there on stage and very vulnerable, maybe also very loved by the audience. But talk to us a little bit about friendship and the the importance of knowing that there are people where you can just absolutely let go and be yourself.
Yes, friendship, so important. And of course, looking back, as you get to be of an age, you know, I remember friends of mine saying, older friends of mine saying, you know, everybody's gone.
Yeah.
And I must say, a lot of people are gone. A lot of people are gone. I think, and deep friendships, of course, the resonance of a deep friendship is always with you. And it carries over after life has ceased. It carries over because it's part of your, anyway, the furniture of your unconscious and the presence of your friends whom you've loved and treasured and had wonderful experiences with. I believe in conversation between people. I think things happen that are unexpected and divine and powerful within the conversation of good friends, old friends, new friends. And you know, we have, my husband and I, we have a very strong social life in New York City. We have a lot of people that we spend time with. And as during the pandemic, we just switched over to Zoom and continued to have, when we would have been having a dinner at some restaurant in the city, we switched off to having a Zoom conversation. And, you know, it's been very healing, very rich, very good. And now we're starting to go back to restaurants, which is another wonderful way of sharing with people. Having a meal with someone is always very revealing and different, and it puts you on a different plane with people. And the more you see them, the deeper your conversations go. And so I think that there's an enrichment in friendship that cannot be measured by any means, except that you're there, you're participating, and your mind is being challenged and stretching and being amused. We need to be amused.
Yeah. There's that word again, muse, and to be amused, and I always like to play, like, right? To be amused by the muse. And conversation also has the word verse. I mean, for us that are poets, universe, and conversation.
Right.
I don't know if you know this quote, Judy, but I remembered it when I was preparing for the interview, and it was on a headstone in the Green River Cemetery in Springs, New York. And it says, I love this quote, and I thought I'd share it with you. Artists and poets are the raw nerve endings. No, let me say it properly. Artists and poets are the raw nerve ends of humanity. By themselves, they can do little to save humanity. Without them, there would be little worth saving.
Oh,
do you know that?
That's beautiful.
It's anonymous, so it's inscribed on a tombstone where, in a cemetery where Jackson Pollock is lying, and there are many artists there. But I think it's so beautiful that the artists are these raw nerve endings. So we're feeling our environment, and we can't save the world by ourselves. But without us, I guess the incredible nature is to be saved. But, you know, when we all go, nobody's looking at their bank statements. They're all listening to the music. They're listening to the music. They're reading the poetry. They're loving the voices of the past that continue to be in the present and go into the future. I mean, it's just so beautiful. Yeah. If you had a little golden nugget, you live all layers of voice. I mean, you literally go from the inner voice work to the singing, to the writing. You have over, I think, 9 books. You're writing a book of poetry. You've done film. So every single layer of voice is there. I think people don't realize how rich our voice is. What is the golden nugget that you would like people to know about voice? What it gives them?
Oh, it's so powerful. It's so powerful. You can shout in the woods. You can whisper to bring things to a point. You can smoothly traverse a story, which is a hard story to tell, which may cause people to weep. But once you get through understanding the story, it won't cause you to weep while you sing. Weeping while you sing is not an effective way to get the point across. Mm-hmm. So the first thing you have to do is morph from your sorrow into the ability to sing it without weeping. And then you give the chance to other people to weep or laugh and or both. Mm-hmm. And it's a great path to reach other people because it also contains in the voice, in the singing voice, it contains memory. That's how a lot of animals communicate. Whales, certainly, first on the list, their singing is communicating information. And I think that when we sing, we stimulate one another's memories. Certainly, it's been discovered that people who have dementia and who cannot speak or sing can understand when music happens.
Yeah. Yeah. So beautiful, Judy Collins. Thank you so much for being with me today. I wish you much success. And continued success for everything you do. You're a great inspiration to us all.
Thank you, Tara. I'm so glad we talked today. I send you love and healing and joy and rainbows.
Woohoo! Bye-bye.
Bye now.